So the most common myth that I've heard across the board for the last decade, especially through personal training, is that carbs make you gain weight. True and false.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to yet another episode about macronutrients. So this is actually the anniversary, this would be the 2-year anniversary of the launch time of our most popular series, which were the macronutrient episodes 19 through 21 or 22. And I decided it would be a really great idea, slash I also polled you guys on my Instagram account, if you wanted me to kind of revisit some of these topics regarding protein, carbs, and fats, and debunk some of the most major myths that we are still hearing today, that we were hearing several years ago, and they just seem to carry on no matter what. So I decided to bring back around the topic of carbs for today's episode because it is still one of the most demonized macronutrient groups that are in our diets every single day. And I think there's a lot of things that are important to remind you. So even if a lot of these myths are things you already know are myths, sometimes it's good to have that reminder of like why, so that it stays at the forefront of your mind, so that when it comes up in your mind, you know, food rules that we learned when we were really young tend to float around and still dictate our decisions, even though we may know that they are not the actual truth. And so I hope that you guys get to learn something new today as well. But without carbs, so many of us females would actually be struggling a lot harder. And I'm speaking mostly to my menstruating females. So if you are postmenopausal, this episode has aspects that apply to you, but I'm mostly speaking to my ladies that are under the age of 45 or so who have not gone through menopause yet, because this is very specific to our physiology and what our body needs from carbs. But I'm not going to talk too much to that point. If you guys would like to hear more about that, I would love for you to DM me. And, you know, with that, come join our community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast and at Kaylee Loren. You can find the links in the show notes. But there's also some really great things coming down the pipeline that I have been working on really hard with some amazing people. So come join that wellness newsletter on my website right now, kayleeloren.com. Again, all the links are in the show notes. And anything I discuss in today's conversation are also going to be found in the show notes, as well as other recommendations and affiliate discounts that you guys can take advantage of, that I have built relationships with some great companies. And so they have provided my listeners with some discounts. So again, today we are going to be busting some of the biggest myths about carbs. I'm going to share my practical tips for eating carbs in a way that supports your hormones, energies, and metabolism, especially if you are still menstruating. Like I had said before, I just wanted to kind of hit that home because that is an important thing to say because it is very specific to this category of female. But I also think that if you are menopausal and you have children that are still in their 30s or 40s, that this is definitely an important episode for you to hear so that you can share the knowledge with them too. All right, let's dive in. Okay, so one of the most conversational topics that come up whenever I'm nutrition coaching with anyone, especially also in the fitness kind of environment, is always carbohydrates. There's always confusion. There's, you know, huge polarizing like narratives that people will come up with. And I would say that easily it is super demonized, and they are not the demons that people make them out to be. So what exactly are carbs? So if you want a huge deep dive into it, I would go to episode 21 of our podcast. That is the carbohydrate macronutrient episode. That's going to be your best resource for learning the ins and outs. That is still one of our most top performing episodes ever across the board. So it does seem like people are still confused about carbs. But just for a little short reminder, so carbohydrates are one of the three macronutrients in our body that our body needs in large amounts. So that's why they're called macronutrients, that they come alongside with proteins and fats. They're found in plant-based foods like fruits, vegetables, grains, legumes, and also in dairy as dairy sugars. And they serve a lot of vital roles in the body. So some of those roles are providing quick, efficient energy for your brain, your muscles, your nervous system, supporting healthy thyroid hormone conversion. They promote lean muscle growth and exercise recovery, and they feed your beneficial gut microbes, aka fiber. And they support hormone production and the communication between your hormones as well. And one of the most important ones that I really like to remind people, especially for my stressful ladies out there, my stress-filled ladies, they help with calming the stress response system, so your HPA axis. A lot of you who've been listening to my podcast might know that I have HPA axis dysfunction. That is not due to carbs, but I'm just pointing that out, that that can go awry when you exist in a chronic stressed state for too long. And so carbs are part of managing and balancing that system. So they are so much more than just something that makes you happy when you eat them and makes you gain fat, okay? Which is one of the myths we're going to talk about, but we'll get there in a second. Because first I wanted to kind of differentiate between the two major types of carbohydrates. So there's simple and complex carbs. And I will plug in here for a sec that in my show notes, you can have access to my macro grocery list, freebie downloadable, that actually comes with, you know, a little template that helps you build out your meals from a more well-rounded meal approach. But with that comes a big master list where I have written out a bunch of different food items that go in different categories, and I've specifically split simple and complex carbs on that sheet. So it's a little cheat sheet. So I highly recommend you download that if you want to visualize and learn what foods go into what categories. So simple carbohydrates are the ones that typically give carbs a bad rap. So those are going to be more like glucose, fructose, galactose, basically all the things ending in -ose, because those are made up of one or two sugar molecules. So -ose usually correlates, or not usually, always correlates to sugar. They are some sort of sugar that the body breaks down and utilizes for energy. And those are mostly found in fruits, dairy, some vegetables. So like I'd said, dairy with the galactose. Galactose is dairy's sugar. It's a naturally occurring sugar. It's the carbohydrate component to milk. But also in processed foods like soda, candy, refined baked goods, half of pizza. A lot of people forget that pizza is half carbs. Or maybe more, it depends on the toppings, but also baked goods and all that good stuff. So simple carbs, they break down quickly in the body, and that leads to faster spikes in blood sugar. So that's where we get the bad rap for a lot of carbohydrates, is because they are quick energy, and if you are not utilizing that energy through movement or having more lean muscle mass at rest, because that does also use more energy, you will most likely store that excess energy because your body's like, oh, you consumed energy. We're not using it yet. I guess I will store it? Question mark. For lack of better, you know, that's a little metaphor, I would say, is thinking of it like that. It's like you're giving it to your body. Your body's like, well, you must have had a reason that you did this. I'm going to wait till you give me the reason. The reason could be you go on a walk or go to the gym or do a sport or any sort of activity, and then your body's like, great, I'm going to use this energy that I ate today and use that for energy. And then there's people who don't use it but still consume that like the bagel in the morning and you sit at your desk all day and you maybe clocked like 3,000 steps, your body's like, for some reason you gave me these extra carbs, aka sugars, and you're not using them, so I guess I have to store them. So that's kind of like a really high level version of what that kind of can translate into and why, because you don't just poop out sugars, unfortunately, as quickly as you would think, just because you didn't use them. So that's why over time you end up storing it. All right, but complex carbohydrates, on the other hand, they have longer chains of sugars and take longer to digest because of it. So they result in more stable energy. And so complex carbohydrates would include starchy vegetables like sweet potatoes, beets, and squash, which I personally myself have been bringing sweet potatoes back into my life because they are a really healthy hormone food to eat, especially in the latter half of your cycle. So after ovulation until you bleed, basically. Whole grains like quinoa, oats, and teff, and legumes such as black beans and lentils, etc. Those are going to be complex carbohydrates because they include more fiber with the longer chains of sugars and also vitamins and minerals that you usually don't find in simple carbohydrates, and or if they are, they're not in the volume that you would find in complex carbohydrates. And these components, the fiber, vitamins, and minerals, are critical for hormone balance, digestion, and immune support. So these are things that are really important for you to include in your diet as a carbohydrate source, if not prioritize usually, if you would like to have the best balance, have good stable energy, and really good digestion and a happier gut health. And one quick little note on this little sciencey understanding section of today's podcast is that I want you to know why fiber matters. So fiber is a type of carbohydrate that's found only in plants, and though we can't digest it, our gut bacteria can. And that's a really good thing because we are learning that our gut is our second brain. We have to take care of that thing like as if it were equally important to our heart and our brain. And, you know, because we only think about prioritizing like cardiovascular health because we need to keep our heart pumping, because if it stops pumping, we are dead. And same thing with the brain. You know, if your brain has a problem, the rest of you is for sure having a problem. Your gut is the same. I would say that those three are the trifecta to your health, and that includes your mental health. So I just want to drive that home because I think not enough people are talking about it like that, and we are understanding it now, especially because, you know, gut health science is young. It really started to boom once they finally had microscopes to study it, aka around 2007, which is wild to think about. And so that's why we are just now, like 2025, being like, okay, we've got roughly 20 years under our belt actually researching gut bacteria and gut health and all that kind of stuff. And now we are like, wow, the philosopher who used to say that all disease starts in the gut was right. So I think that it's really important for you to know that. And so fiber plays one of the big roles in upholding that health, okay? So it slows the absorption of glucose and it stabilizes your blood sugar by doing that. It supports regular digestion and gut health overall. It feeds beneficial bacteria to maintain a diverse and healthy microbiome. And it's gonna promote satiety and balance your hormones. So kind of in that natural GLP-1 receptor. I mean, that's why we have that GLP-1 receptor in the first place, is it's something that is a mechanism that our body already uses in the systems for communicating satiety, aka satiation, which means, you know, you're good. We should be eating to satiety, not to fullness. That is just a little side random tangent. And it's true that, you know, most adults fall short of the general recommendations that are like 25 to 35 grams of daily fiber. Honestly, modern gut health is really pointing towards you should have no less than 30 grams of fiber a day, and you can go up to 40 grams of fiber a day. If you start to go over that, unless you eat that way all the time, like you're a whole food vegan, like you eat real food, not junk food vegan, you most likely will get used to having upwards of 40 to 60 grams of fiber a day. It does take time. That's why becoming a whole food vegan tends to involve a lot of farts and things like that, unfortunately. But that would be why, is it's usually that high dose of fiber. But again, most people are going to feel really good and regular with happy hormones and good gut health around that 35 grams of fiber a day. Okay, so that wraps up all of the little background, quickie carb information that I wanted to make sure you are armed with coming into this so that you can reflect on that when questioning or thinking through some of these myths that I'm about to talk about. So let's dive into some of these myths. Okay, so the most common myth that I've heard across the board for the last decade, especially through personal training, is that carbs make you gain weight. True and false. Okay, so the true part is weight means any amount of mass on your body. That could be muscle, that could be water, that could be fat, that could be your skin. It can be a lot of things. And so weight is not a good measure of health. This is why BMI is kind of BS, especially for, you know, like my husband is 230 pounds and he has, I mean, I think his body fat percentage is like 19%. That means like a very large portion of him is muscle, a ton of muscle. And that does not equal obesity. His BMI comes back as obese because that's just unfortunately the outdatedness of the scale. I have an episode on that from last season. So go scroll back and listen to that guy. That one's a really good one to help you understand that better. But I will say that when you think of the difference between health and weight, it is not synonymous. They are not necessarily as straightforward as that. And so it's really important to know that carbs can make you gain weight. I'll explain why in a second, but they don't necessarily make you gain fat, okay? And a lot of us just think immediately, oh, I'm gaining fat because it's showing up on the scale. No. Hardly usually the situation unless it's consistent and it's increasing over time. This is why if you have a healthy relationship with a scale, it could be a useful tool for understanding not only how your lifestyle habits are going, like if you are slowly eating a little bit too much, or if you slowly started to creep in a lot of treats or alcohol consumption, or you're less and less active, you know, the scale will tell you when an energy imbalance is going on, meaning you are gaining weight. It can also tell you if you're gaining muscle, and a lot of people miss that kind of differentiation. But at the same time, it can be a really useful tool for you to learn how carbs make you hold on to water. So that's the difference. So you may be seeing weight go on, or you may look a little puffier, but that's typically correlated to the fact that I believe it's 1 gram of carbs binds to 2 grams of water. So water weight, quote unquote. So if you are not drinking enough water and your kidneys are not having a healthy relationship to the water balance in your body, that's what your kidneys do. If you chronically dehydrate them, that's when you're going to see yourself react to super salty foods and puff up, or carbohydrates and puff up. You know, you sway a lot more with water retention when you are not consistent with your water intake. So the concept that carbs make you gain weight is typically correlated to the fact that they can make you hold on to a little bit more water. But again, this is temporary. And this is part of your body discovering what it wants to do with this sugar, essentially, that you've put into it. And if you're somebody who is an adult female who is generally active, if you're getting more than 6,000 steps a day, or you do some workouts and things at least like 3 or 4 times a week, etc., carbs are essential for your energy and they're extremely important for your hormone health. So overeating ultra processed carbs and undereating protein and fat, that's typically the issue more so than carbs making you gain weight. So a lot of times too, people will think about, oh, I'm eating too many carbs. Well, what kind of carbs were you eating? Because like I was saying earlier, usually when you're thinking, oh, you know, I ate pizza, chocolate croissant, bagel, you know, you're thinking of stuff that you ate. You're like, carbs, carbs, carbs. Yes, the common denominator is carbs. Not entirely. The other half, if not maybe 2/3, depending on the food item you had, pizza, half fats, bagel, half fats with the cream cheese. Croissants with chocolate filling or whatever filling. Croissants are literally laminated with butter. Laminating meaning layered. That's what makes them crispy. So most of that is actually fat as well. So the combination of fats and carbs with no protein is usually the issue that is making you gain weight, because those are both energy-specific macronutrients. And so your body is going to store them for energy if you're not using them for energy. So again, that's the important thing to observe, is it the carbs or is it the food quality that you're eating? And is it ultra processed, meaning it's typically more simple carbs, which means you're eating more quick sugars. And again, if you're not using those quick sugars for energy, your body wants to store it. So in the bigger picture, calories and your insulin sensitivity matters a lot more than just the carbs alone. So like a lot of my clients know, rounded meals are so important. So every meal needs to have a good quality fat, good quality protein, and a lean protein, and good quality carbs, ideally more complex carbs than simple carbs. But again, if you're somebody who is active, think of your simple carbs as energy. Eat them when you are the most active. So usually it's best to have more of those simple carbs in the morning or for lunch, and then to go more towards your complex carbs for dinner. Okay. So that's kind of one of the little pro tips that I wanted to weave into talking about this myth that carbs make you gain weight, because it's important to know that there is a strategy, especially if you look at your lifestyle and you know you're not going to be very active. Same goes for the opposite. Frequently, I will see a lot of female clients, especially long distance runners, avoid simple carbs and stuff just because they're, you know, a lot of people, like, not to ruffle feathers, but a lot of people go to running because they think it's going to help them maintain like a lean body. In reality, most women end up skinny fat when long distance running chronically. Our bodies do not, they're not really built to run long distance. It's like the funny phrase that a lot of people say that I tend to say is like, what are you running from? A lot of women run long distance long term because they're running from something. A lot of people say like, oh, I just really like the running high. Well, you can get that from a lot of other things that are less hard on your body. Running can be really tough on your joints long term. Our pelvises are more curved than a male's, so it's really hard on our hip joints as well. And there's a lot of hormone problems that can come from chronic long distance running long term. That's why you'll see a lot of people like Robin from Peloton struggling with fertility, because she just maintained that leanness and was like a triathlete for so long that the female body just doesn't love that. And I'm not saying that that's bad or wrong or any of that stuff for her lifestyle, but I am saying for your lifestyle, that is not maybe a aspiration to shoot for if you're looking to have longevity in your joints and healthy hormones long term. But like I was saying, if you are more active, you do need more carbs. So consuming more simple carbs, especially around your activity, you can go up to 40 grams or 50 grams of carbs for pre or post meal for or pre or post workout. That can really increase your endurance, your strength, and so much more. So I've actually had clients body recomp, so lose fat, gain muscle, from increasing their carbs. But typically real food carbs, not usually going to be from those ultra processed carbs like I was talking about. So increasing your carbs from like your root veggies and rice and lentils, etc., those are going to be better sources for you to increase your energy output and be well nourished while also body recomping. And that sometimes doesn't show up as weight on the scale. A lot of times when my clients recomp, they only maybe lose like 3 pounds on the scale, but that's because they usually put on like 5 to 10 pounds of muscle and lose like 15 pounds of fat. And so you don't really see it on the scale because of the recomp. Okay, so let's go into the next myth. So there's another myth that a lot of people will say. They say you don't need carbs, you can just go keto or carnivore. And, you know, hardcore carnivore, not animal-based carnivore. Like I've talked about that before earlier this year when I discussed the carnivore diet. And this actually is one that hits home because I have tried both keto and carnivore as a menstruating female, more for research and understanding for my clients who were doing that, or for understanding it as an intervention for potential clients where it makes sense for them to follow one of those diets therapeutically. But for myself, I did find, particularly more with carnivore, maybe just because I was a little older at the time, because I did keto, I experimented with that when I was like 26. And then when I did carnivore was this time last year, which was just had turned 30. So those were, you know, kind of different timelines in a woman's body. And our chapters change faster than you guys think. I think all of us like to think of it as decades, but I honestly think that it's like every 5 years is something new is going to happen. Especially depending on like your lifestyle and all that kind of stuff. And so saying that women don't need carbs, or people in general, you can't box women in, especially menstruating women, in with everybody else. It's going to really be misleading and frankly harmful. So if you are a menstruating woman, do not box yourself in with any generic advice that is given to all people, because that's just simply not thoughtful enough for your unique situation. So very low carb or keto can really wreck your hormone balance and your thyroid health. It's very stressful on the body for you to shift into that physiological system. And, you know, some people do better higher fat with lower carb, but that doesn't mean no carb, and that doesn't mean very low carb. So very low carb means that your net carbs, meaning your total carbs minus the fiber that's involved, being 25 grams or less. So that's what would be considered very low carb. If you're somebody who sticks around like 70 grams of carbs a day or so, because you are somebody who does better with fat, first of all, you better be eating enough fat then, because you have to inverse carbs and fats. Your protein should always stay pretty consistent in your diet every day, but your carbs and fats can oscillate essentially up and down depending on what you're going to pull from more or what you feel better on. So people who like fats more, you still need a baseline amount of carbs. And I wouldn't go below 50 grams of carbs a day if you're a menstruating female. Again, if you are somebody who is postmenopausal, you can really benefit from a keto green diet. You can look into Dr. Anna Kabeka. She does a really great job of helping menopausal women navigate that there. But I will say you are going to really harm yourself as a menstruating woman doing more than several months following a ketogenic or a carnivore diet. That is not just from my own experience, that is also from the experience from a large amount of women online, but also just science, because unfortunately it does stress your thyroid. Your thyroid is pretty much your metabolism. It's your energy. It's, you know, which that's kind of redundant, but it's just for you guys with lay terms. It's so much more than simply just there to eventually go hypothyroid and then be on levothyroxine. Because I think a lot of us women know as the thyroid of like, oh, you go hypothyroid and then you have to go on meds and then like that's it, which is a whole different conversation. I'd love to have either a thyroid specialist on to talk about the complexities of thyroid, or I will compile everything that I've been learning, especially with my husband's unique autoimmune thyroid and then my own thyroid journey and, you know, several other of my clients that I've been helping with alongside. However, I did find, because I do labs routinely, that carnivore stressed out my thyroid significantly. And I was suffering from significant hormone imbalance too. And I only did carnivore for like 2 months. And I had got migraines and I was starting to get the cold intolerance. So those are signs that cold intolerance was showed up for me, like really cold hands and feet, and feeling like even if I was sitting in the car at 74 degrees, like I was cold. Those are signs that your thyroid is stressed, and they're most likely subclinical hypothyroid, which means that your doctor won't prescribe you. You land in the quote unquote normal zone for TSH if they test that. And but those symptoms are very real, and they are a sign of something. They're as your body is starting to tell you, hey, this organ, aka your thyroid, is getting stressed out. And reducing carbs, or removing carbs rather, does stress out your thyroid, especially over time for menstruating women. If you are a healthy menstruating woman, you will feel that, unfortunately. So that is, again, a good myth that I want to debunk. You do need carbs, especially if you're menstruating women, especially if you're somebody who is looking to keep that thyroid conversion healthy, manage your cortisol well, and keep your estrogen progesterone rhythm nice and strong. So don't you cut out carbs. Okay, the next myth is a quick one. that I'm not going to dive into insanely, but fruit, it actually piggybacks off the last one as well. Fruit has too much sugar. It's going to make you fat. Oh my God. Raise your hand if you've heard that one before. There's a phrase that I learned back in my bachelor's degree where my professor said, you've never seen a fat monkey, like monkeys who eat fruit all day long. And it's true. They are active. So, you know, again, that brings into question activity. How much fruit you eat, as it being a more simple carb, but it's not entirely always a simple carb because it does have fiber and water and nutrients, unlike simple carbs, like soda or something. But at the same time, you just remember to be mindful of how much you move if you're going to consume more of those simple sugars. Fruit is delicious and it definitely has sugar. Sometimes it could be too much if you're somebody who doesn't move enough. But again, the best thing you can do is still enjoy your fruit, get your nutrients from it, including the fiber, and go on a walk or something for just like 10 to 15 minutes. And that drastically affects the blood sugar spike. But, you know, berries and apples and other citrus and stuff, those are really great sources of nutrients and they are quite lower carb. I believe berries, including like strawberries and such, are on the lowest carb on the spectrum. And they provide a lot of really great nutrients, including like acromantia, which is a very healthy thing that your gut needs, essentially. I don't want to get too sciencey there. But piggybacking off of that, the last myth I wanted to discuss was that carbs spike your blood sugar and that's always bad. Okay. All right. Buckle up. I'm not going to try to make this one too long, but I will say that it's been a very interesting discussion that has come up a lot more ever since Glucose Goddess has become in the forefront of the world on social media. So, and there's a lot of things where I think people take what she is saying out of context. Unfortunately, that is what happens when you grow a massive audience. And so I don't fault her. So I'm going to first say that. I don't think that she's like, this isn't me poo-pooing on any of it, but there is a lot of confusion that unfortunately general population has taken from her exposing how your blood sugar reacts after food, okay? So yes, carbs are sugars, and if they're more simple carbohydrates, they're going to be simple sugars, right? So those are going to spike your blood sugar quicker and possibly higher. This is why having a rounded meal that includes a good quality fat and good protein isn't always going to blunt that spike. So that is why that is super important. And you can definitely benefit from, you know, nutrient timing when you're eating your plate, focusing on the fiber rich, the fat rich, and the protein rich foods, and then finishing with the more simple carbs, because that will also help that blood sugar spike. However, blood sugar spikes are normal. That's how your body is going to react to the foods that you eat, and it shoots out the insulin to manage it, okay? So this is something that doesn't necessarily hurt you, and it doesn't mean that carbs are bad, okay? That's just a natural response to the sugars, because that is how your body processes and manages the sugars that get into your body. And so that's an essential thing that needs to happen whenever you eat these foods, okay? So they are not a bad thing. And I've actually had several type 1 diabetic clients who use continuous glucose monitors, not for trendy reasons, and they have sent me screenshots or we've seen it together when they've been working out, because we have to, type 1 diabetics are unique in the sense that sometimes exercise makes their blood sugar drop drastically, and sometimes it can make things go all wonky and like your blood sugar spike out of nowhere. It's a very complicated and complex to the individual situation, but I've had those clients send me those things, or we've discovered that when they do pair their foods with a more robust, well-rounded meal with all those components like I was talking about, their blood sugar stays in that happy zone all day long. And when they don't, and they skip out and they don't have enough protein with one meal, or they don't have a healthy fat with a meal, their blood sugar will go all over the place, requiring them to have to adjust their CGM to administer more insulin or less insulin, depending on the situation. So that is a really good example for somebody who sees their blood sugar all day long and has to manage it manually, because they have to give exogenous insulin. So they have to give themselves insulin, because with type 1 diabetics, their pancreas doesn't produce that insulin because they're born with insulin resistance. And honestly, insulin dysfunction is more like it, because when you get into insulin resistance, that's more when you have type 2 diabetes, where you've built this resistance to it because you've chronically eaten in a too high sugar state constantly. And so I will say the one gray area clarification with this concept of carb spike blood sugar, and that's always bad, is if you are constantly eating like this and letting your body go into this spiked state and then drop state, usually you're a person who has severe hangriness between meals. That's a good sign that you're dysregulated. And that's a good sign that you need to add more protein or healthy fats or both, ideally. Ideally, always have good protein in every single meal to help this, especially for the satiety component. But if you want to reduce your chances of fat being stored, you're going to want to have more proteins as well. But you can balance that out and rebalance and reset your system by making sure you have your meals rounded like that. It is going to be more obvious to you when you have an imbalanced meal if you get that spike and drop and you go from like really happy or really sleepy. Those are like different ways that too much carbs and a blood sugar spike can happen. And then when it drops, you get angry, you get irritable, you can get anxious. You know, there's a lot of different things that happen from blood sugar lows. And so you want to pay attention to those signs and symptoms, and then that will help you understand if you should be rounding your meals out better, improving your meals in the ways that I suggested, etc. Yada, yada. You get the picture. But all right, before I close out today's episode, I did just want to remind you guys of a couple of tips and advice that I would give you if you want to master your carbohydrate intake while, you know, still enjoying your life. Because I don't expect you to have every single meal, a rounded meal, perfectly. If you can aim for at least 90 to 95% of your meals throughout your week to be a rounded meal, you're going to have the best case scenario when it comes to managing your carb intake and therefore your blood sugar and therefore your energy and your cycle, etc. I mean, because unfortunately, you know, PCOS is now being called diabetes of the ovaries because we are learning that correlation to insulin resistance and how, you know, high stress with a more insulin resistant state in the body, usually eating imbalanced meals and being highly stressed and being inactive, all of those things are compounding and causing PCOS to happen. And it's no longer this mysterious thing. And it is no longer true that it's just a genetic thing. Which I think personally for myself and as a clinician and, you know, looking at patients now in the past and in the future, it's really important that we understand that we have to be empowered by what can happen to our health if we aren't taking care of ourselves. And I do think that a lot of people leaning on allowing people to separate their responsibility over their health from genetics is dangerous, because I think a lot of people will just completely let themselves steamroll into different situations and not even think to take better care of themselves, and then just become, you know, diagnosed with this or that disease and then become defined by it. And I just refuse to allow my friends, family, clients, etc. to be okay with that. You know what I mean? Well, they can be okay with that on their own, but I just mean that I'm going to be that person that will always help them be empowered and to know that that's not what you need to be defined by. And yes, you can prevent these things. Yes, you can reverse a lot of these things and heal from these things. And so I really want you listening right now to know that your health is in your hands and you can do so much more to take better care of yourself, like listening to this podcast episode today and educating yourself a little bit better on how you can, you know, do better for yourself. And I think that that's really important. And I hope you feel a little bit more empowered by that, because I don't think that it's good to continue living by these food myths, you know. And so that's why I really was hoping to help you guys get out of this series, is to kind of break down and remind you that a lot of this stuff is not true. And there's a lot more context to it that I think is really important that you guys know. So I'm going to leave you with these top carb tips. Number one, eat carbs that come from the ground or grow on trees. So, you know, root vegetables, fruit, rice, oats, squash, etc. Ideally, if you're going for things that were grown in soil, because our soil is unfortunately riddled with pesticides and other contaminants, microplastics, etc. You're going to want to go for organic so that you can at least cut some of that exposure. It's not perfect. A lot of people are like, meh, it's right next to the other crops that are sprayed. Yes, but there is still regulations that go on, and no, it does not transfer as much and as simple as that. There is still companies out there that do test their products as well, and they don't sell things that are not to the standard. So if you can budget towards organic for certain grains and, you know, potatoes and all that kind of stuff, that would be really worth your investment, because it's going to help your toxin burden on your body to be lower. Always pair your carbs with a protein and or fat to slow that glucose spike. You know, I talked about that a lot, so I'm not going to go into that more. Time your higher carb meals around movement. So, you know, morning time, post-workout, pre-workout, depends on what kind of person you are. Some people can work out with food in their stomach, some people can't. And midday. Late night is usually a time where you just want to have those more fibrous carbs. You can stick to a little bit leaner meal with more vegetable based and like higher fiber, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I would say that simple carbs are not necessarily something that you should really put in the late night, because it's just going to kind of spike your energy, or it might just hang around and upset your sleep, because again, it's a simple sugar, so it could keep you awake at night. Adjust your carbs throughout your cycle. This is an important one. I did not get into it too much, but I can do a cycle-based discussion on macronutrients if you would like it. So, you know, throw me a DM or something like that, or comment on this episode on Spotify if you are somebody who wants to hear more about that. But you want to have your carbs more in your luteal phase, because that's usually when your body is prepping to shed the lining before you bleed and it needs more energy. On average, I think in the luteal phase, we usually want like 50 to 200 calories more in that part of our cycle. And that's why in the follicular phase, the first 2 weeks from bleed until ovulation is usually when you're able to stick to a diet better and anything like that. Not that you need to diet during that time, but that is when you're going to have an easier time not craving carbs as much. So that's why we crave carbs pre-menstruation, is because that is actually something our body needs and wants. So you can prioritize more carbs in your luteal phase and slightly less during your menstruation or early follicular phase. And then the last tip I want to give you guys is use your carbs to calm your nervous system. Even just a few bites of I love long baked sweet potatoes, 400 degrees in the oven for 90 minutes. Perfect. I love it so much. But you can eat some of that as like a little sweet treat before bed, but because it's going to have that fiber and more nutrients and be a complex carb, so it's not going to spike your sugars like I was saying would be bad if you were to have the simple carbohydrates before bed. All right, guys, so that's it for today's episode. Check the show notes for all of my freebie resources for you, as well as other good links and community connection. But that's it. Share this episode on your Instagram story and tag me if you would like me to see it. Or you can send it to your bestie who hates carbs or is afraid of carbs, and you want her to know that she can still eat carbs and thrive, because I think all of us women need to know that carbs are not the enemy. Okay? Carbs are not the enemy. But as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment. Walk with confidence, and I'll catch you in 2 weeks on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast, or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren, or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do-it-yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live, so stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand-curated, not AI-generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So, all right, Rebel, until next episode.